Reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Good morning. I wonder if there's anyone listening this morning who isn't feeling at least a little bit weary and burdened, though I think the beautiful snow today might have helped to cheer us up a bit. Or maybe if you're not feeling weary and burdened today, maybe yesterday or the day before. Living through a global pandemic is certainly exhausting, isn't it? And we're going to be thinking a little bit today from this passage about how we can find rest. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we pray that you would come and speak to us this morning through your word. We thank you that you are our faithful God. We thank you that you are our God who speaks and moves and makes a difference in our lives. And we pray that we would hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We tend to like a sense of routine, don't we, and knowing what will happen next. But these days, things seem to change from week to week, and even from day to day sometimes. Adjusting and adapting is exhausting. We tend to like to be in control. And this virus, which is unknown and which keeps changing, is very difficult to control. So we might try to reach for control in our own lives in different ways. Trying to stay in control is exhausting. Fear and anxiety about the spread of the virus can be exhausting. Seeing and experiencing the grief and the loss caused by the virus is exhausting. All the while, the rest of life is still happening too. And at the same time, many of the things that we usually do to try and rest and relax aren't available to us at the moment. Still, into our situation, or exhausting, unusual situation, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." In this passage, when Jesus says, "Come to me," let's think about who he's calling to himself. Is it only the ones who've got their acts in gear and their lives sorted out? The really intelligent people who have all of their theology sorted out? The respectable people who everyone looks up to? The rich people who have power and influence? No. On the contrary, verse 25 of Matthew 10 tells us that God has hidden the truth of who Jesus is from the wise and learned at that time and has revealed it to little children. In Jewish society at the time, little children were seen to have no importance. So when Jesus says, "Come to me," he's inviting anyone and everyone who will respond to him. Jesus says, "Come to me." He doesn't say, "Follow this set of rules and regulations," or "just pull yourselves up by your bootstraps," or "go to a God far away and distant and hard to reach." In verse 27, Jesus claims that he is revealing or unveiling the truth about God, and then says, "Come to me." God himself has come to seek out those who rebelled against him. He's not come to condemn, but to invite any of us with the most amazing invitation for us to find rest for our souls in a relationship with God. Grace upon grace. For many of the Jews Jesus was speaking to, religion had become a huge burden. It had become a matter of endless regulations and duties. That's not what it was supposed to be. The law was given to help people to see their own sinfulness and to understand how they could come close to God and get to know God. But in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus tells us that the scribes and the Pharisees, who were the Jewish leaders, bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. At the same time, the ordinary people in Jesus' time also labored wearily under Roman occupation, where the ruling elite had wealth, status, and power at the expense of the poorer people. As Tom Wright reminds us, Jesus came to lift burdens off aching backs, moral, physical, emotional, financial, every kind of burden. That was then. What about us today? What kind of burdens are we carrying at the moment? As well as the sometimes heavy burdens of everyday life, family, money, relationships, we can end up putting burdens on ourselves. I was thinking this week about how we can constantly feel the need to be good enough and to measure up, and how that can weigh us down. In the last lockdown, lots of my friends who were homeschooling felt huge pressure. They felt like they had to be a great teacher, as well as an amazing employee at the same time, as well as keeping that one corner of their house meticulously clean for the Zoom calls to be able to see. We can put demands on ourselves to look like the perfect family and like we have it all together, when actually we can see cracks appearing and we don't always know what to do about them. We can even feel that way about God. We can feel like we have to be good enough for him and have everything sorted out before we can come to him. Jesus tells us to come to him, to come just as we are, already loved and wanted, with all our weariness and burdens, in our weakness, in the times we fail. He says, just come. As we serve God and partner with him to see his kingdom come on earth, we're not working in order to earn God's favor and to be good enough for him. We already have God's favor and acceptance, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We serve God as his dearly loved children. That is one of the things which brings rest to our souls. Jesus' call to come to him is one to follow him or be his disciples or apprentices. Michael Green talks about the key to discipleship being the continual act of coming to Jesus. When Jesus calls us to learn from him, this is not just academic learning or filling a gap in our knowledge. This is coming to him, spending time with him, watching, listening, and keeping in step with him. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What does Jesus mean when he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me"? A yoke, not one which is part of an egg, is what is used by oxen to pull a heavy load. Most of us will never have seen oxen pulling a yoke, though you can still see that in places in Africa, for example. The yoke is the wooden collar that runs across the shoulders of the oxen and enables them together to pull enormous weights. Eli's going to show us a picture of that now. So you can see the picture of the yoke. Apparently, so I've read, a pair of oxen working together can pull not just twice as much as one ox, but four times the amount. Thanks, Eli. They can pull much more effectively. But when we read this, taking a yoke on ourselves doesn't sound like it will be restful or light or easy. It sounds like it might even be adding to our burden. Why does Jesus say that his yoke is easy and his burden is light? When farmers are training oxen, they put a younger and weaker ox with a much stronger and more experienced one who will train the younger one. The stronger ox carries most of the load while the weaker one learns. When we realize that it is Jesus we are being yoked to and that he will be doing the pulling alongside us, we begin to understand why his yoke is light. Taking on the Lord's yoke refers to his discipling us, making us more like him, doing life his way. In Jesus' time, the Jewish law was known as the yoke of the Torah. As we mentioned already, the Pharisees laid this as a burden on people, and it was a burden that put constraints and restrictions on almost every area of their lives. But the Pharisees didn't help them to do anything to carry this. They just felt weighed down by it. They couldn't live up to it. But what Jesus is offering is entirely different. When we choose to take Jesus' yoke upon us, to follow him, to submit to his direction in our lives, then he walks with us and alongside us. Together, we can carry the weight of the burden. As we walk with him and surrender our need to be in control, then we have rest, knowing that God's plans and purposes are being worked out in our lives. And the yoke is easy because he is carrying the weight with us. That doesn't mean that life is always going to be easy. The road we're walking along might be really tough, but when we're yoked with him, then he walks the road with us and we can lean on him. The Greek word for easy, when Jesus says that his yoke is easy, is krestos, which could be translated as good or kind or well-fitting. As a carpenter from Nazareth, I love the idea that Jesus himself would probably have made many yokes in the workshop. And Jesus says, in effect, my yoke fits well. My direction in your life fits well for you. His yoke is gentle. It's not harsh. The Pharisees had made the law harsh. In some ways, though, Jesus' yoke is more demanding. God does care about how we live, and he wants us to be all that he's created us to be. Last week in Matthew chapter 10, Joy was speaking to us about the call on our lives, how people have to be prepared to leave behind possessions, family, even their lives, if necessary, to follow Jesus. But this starts with Jesus's amazing love and sacrifice for us. Out of that, our responses that we want to live the way that God designed and intended us to live. Not in our own strength, but God at work in us and through us. It's the yoke of love, not of duty. The response of those who've been set free, not those who are forced to follow. It's being yoked to the one through whom God's kingdom of justice, mercy, and compassion is breaking into this world. Pulling together with Jesus, we find the rest which our souls long for. Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light because of who Jesus is. He calls us to learn from him. I wonder if sometimes we don't come just as we are, with our weariness and weakness, because we forget that he's gentle and humble in heart. Do we sometimes feel like we're coming to a strict and stern teacher who will rebuke us or reject us because we have failed? Do we feel like we need to hide our weaknesses and get ourselves sorted out before we can come to him? Charles Spurgeon pointed out that in all the four gospel accounts given to us, which is 89 chapters of scripture altogether, there's only one place where Jesus tells us about his own heart, and this is it. Jesus doesn't tell us that he's stern and judgmental in heart. He doesn't tell us that he's dignified and exalted in heart. In his words, he tells us that he is gentle and humble in heart. When the Bible speaks about the heart, it's not only speaking about the emotions, but the very center of who we are and what motivates us. Jesus loves it when we come to him. No prerequisites, no hoops to jump through. He is the one who's opened up the way for us to be able to come to him. He astounds us with his amazing kindness. He sometimes has stern words to say, like in the paragraph in Matthew 10, before the section that we're looking at today. He has stern words for those who are hard-hearted and don't see their need for him, who live in ways which are damaging and are not willing to respond to God. But even Jesus' sternness comes from his love. He wants what is best for each one of us. And he knows that God's ways are the very best ways for us to be living. Jesus is not inviting us to a life of ease. He gives us rest, which we desperately need, but he's not saying, this is going to be easy. Following him will be full of risks and challenges, as he's made abundantly clear. Life will still have its difficulties and sadnesses, as we live in a broken world. He calls us to a life of humble service, but it is a life of freedom and joy instead of slavery. It's a life yoked to Jesus under God's merciful and gracious reign, free from the burden of sin and the need to prove ourselves, free to rest deeply and securely in God's grace. Free to bring the difficulties and sadness to him. So, what are the burdens and weariness we come with today? Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Being yoked to Jesus means that we can let go of always needing to be in control because we know the one who is bigger than our situation. And we can focus on just walking step by step with him. We can bring our fear and anxiety to this teacher of ours, who is gentle and humble of heart. We don't need to hide it from him. And we can know that he is for us and is the one who can give us deep rests for our souls. We can bring our grief and loss to him because he has walked with us on this earth and experienced grief and loss, and he can comfort us and bring us eternal hope. We can come to him letting go of striving and remembering that he loves us just because of who we are. I finish with a quote from George Whitefield. And if Jesus Christ gives you rest, you may be sure it will be rest indeed. It will be such a rest as your soul wants. It will be a rest which the world can neither give nor take away. Amen.